Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Maria Garcia. Scientists have to compete. A lot. They compete for research grants, prizes, and placement of studies in various journals. But increasingly, scientific success also depends on sharing. And as WBUR's Common Health editor, Carrie Goldberg, reports, a science nonprofit in Cambridge is about to make a little sharing history.
Back in the early 2000s, when Melina Fan was in grad school at Harvard, her research on diabetes and obesity ran into some frustrating snags. She needed certain plasmids, circular bits of DNA, to study genes involved in how cells burn energy.
And so I wrote to 20 different labs to ask if they could share their DNA with me so I could carry on my research. And that was where I started encountering problems. About half of them didn't get back to me, and those who did, it took a long time to get the materials, and sometimes they weren't correct.
Fan didn't blame the labs. Their job was research, not shipping out packages. But there was clearly a problem that was slowing down science. After she graduated in 2004, she co-founded AdGene, a nonprofit repository that gathers and sends out plasmids, those critical bits of DNA, to scientists who need them. Fast forward to 2018, and very soon now, AdGene expects to have cause for a big celebration. It's going to hit its 1 millionth plasmid shared.
This is a major milestone for the organization and for science in general, because this marks 1 million plasmids that scientists have actually been sharing with each other.
On a recent day, order processing assistant Latifa Aisawi handles pinky-sized vials of clear fluid containing plasmids, scanning barcodes and packing them up.
It's like I'm checking everything is right. I have all the plasmid in the box, so I'm doing the last step here.
AdGene's setup includes 20 big freezers, some that go down to minus 80 degrees centigrade, flasks of bacterial broth for growing plasmids, and many rows of boxes destined for labs around the world. AdGene is part of a broad movement called Open Science that focuses on much more sharing in general, of data, of lab notes, of results, even before they're published. It's a little like the open source movement in software, except in biology, of course, researchers have to share physical materials as well, like the plasmids AdGene sends out. AdGene has been compared to Amazon because scientists can so easily order the DNA they need from it. But that doesn't capture the sharing element. Melina Fan says it's more like a souped-up Airbnb.
Instead of just saying, you know, somebody else can use my house for this week, here is a situation where you can say everybody can have access. I mean, because we can make copies of it. And not only can you have access to my house, but you can install a new bathroom. You can make improvements to it.
Case in point, CRISPR, the revolutionary method for editing genes. Feng Zhang, a leading scientist at the Broad Institute and MIT, has done pioneering work on engineering CRISPR tools in recent years, and he was flooded with requests to share DNA with other labs. AdGene rescued his lab team from stuffing envelopes with CRISPR plasmids.
And to date, AdGene has sent it out maybe over 40,000 plus times, and that's just been phenomenal. It freed up time for us to do more science.
And it helped CRISPR spread far and wide, fast. And, Zhang says, the sharing creates a helpful feedback cycle.
When we share the tools with another researcher, they may come back to us and say, hey, this thing works well, but wouldn't it be great if you can do something else? And that gives us motivation to and inspiration to do something to further push the technology forward.
AdGene isn't the only central repository for life science. There's one that sends out cell lines, and the Jackson Lab in Maine is famous for its genetically engineered mice. But it is a prime example of scientific sharing. Researchers deposit their plasmids for free. Labs that want the material pay $65 per plasmid. Eric Lander, director of the Broad Institute in Cambridge, says this generation of scientists share because they want impact.
They want to change the world, and the best way to change the world quickly and see an impact and to do things that you're going to be proud to tell your children about is to get in the hands of tens of thousands of others.
He says that impact doesn't come just through work at a scientist's own lab bench.
It's through empowering an entire scientific community, and I think this next generation of scientists, they understand that.
And they'll soon be celebrating it at AdGene. Melina Fan says she expects the millionth plasmid to go out by early next month.
That was WBUR's Common Health editor Carrie Goldberg talking about a big science sharing milestone expected any day now. And Carrie's with us here in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you, Maria.
So, Carrie, a million shares, a big number, clearly, but educate me here. Why is this such a big deal?
Well, I think it's a big deal because we're not talking about, you know, a million shares of a Facebook post that it only takes a click to share. We're talking about a million packages of DNA being sent out to labs all over the world. And, you know, these million plasmids represent, I think, a vivid example of this really huge trend in science, at least in academic science, to share more, to work together on a much broader scale, to have much bigger teams across different labs attacking a big problem. You know, sometimes you see scientific papers these days with dozens or hundreds of authors on them. So it's just a really big contrast to the traditional image of like a lone scientist working late at night and just getting a eureka moment.
Yeah, that's definitely the stereotype, right? Well, it's also a contrast to the traditional image of cutthroat competition in science.
Yes. And, you know, in fact, I've just been reading a new book called The Prize by a Boston University biology professor, Jeffrey Cooper. It's a medical thriller that revolves around this evil researcher who's pursuing a cure for Alzheimer's disease. And he basically tries to destroy a rival researcher. He even resorts to murder to further his ambitions. And as the back of the book puts it, he's lusting relentlessly for the Nobel Prize.
Wow. So. Lusting sounds dramatic. Yeah. So sharing is on the rise. But as we've seen with CRISPR, you know, there can be plenty of conflict still over who gets credit, including prizes and big money.
Absolutely. And actually, there's some local news out today that highlights how competitive science still is and the fights that can develop over credit. It's an exclusive report from the watchdog outfit Retraction Watch that reports on instances when researchers have to retract or withdraw their published papers, usually because of problems with bad or fabricated data. So Retraction Watch is focusing on a very prominent researcher, Dr. H. Gilbert Welch, who's up at the Dartmouth Institute for Health Policy and Clinical Practice.
And what's he known for, Carrie?
Well, Welch has been a leading force in calling attention to some of the key excesses of American medicine. One of his books was titled Overdiagnosed, Making People Sick in Pursuit of Health. And as a cancer specialist, he's been looking particularly at screening for cancer, so breast, prostate, thyroid, and melanoma. And much of his work suggests that we tend to get screened and tested too much and then treated too much, including for cancers that never would have hurt us. So basically, Maria, he's an important critical voice on medical policy, particularly on cancer screening, but also on issues like lowering the bar on who's considered to have, say, high blood pressure or heart disease.
So what happened in this case, Carrie?
So Retraction Watch reports that a Dartmouth investigation concluded that Dr. Welch committed research misconduct, to wit, plagiarism of two colleagues, in an influential paper that the New England Journal of Medicine published in 2016. Now, Welch is challenging that finding, and he told Retraction Watch that the data in the paper is publicly available, and I'm quoting here, all the analyses, all the figures, and all the writing in the article are my co-authors and mine.
And so what is the paper about?
It's about the size of breast tumors when they're detected. So, you know, the idea of mammogram screening is to detect breast tumors before they grow. But this paper by Welch and others finds that because most of the small tumors detected by mammograms would not have grown, the drop in breast cancer deaths came mainly from improvements in treatment rather than early detection. And it concludes that women were more likely to have breast cancer that was overdiagnosed than to have earlier detection of a tumor that was destined to become large.
Carrie, just a quick reaction here. I can't help but think that many of us might be willing to risk overdiagnosis if it means catching a cancer earlier and having a better shot at successful treatment.
Definitely. And these are really complex issues. And on an individual basis, of course, you want to talk with your doctor. But, you know, Maria, I'd say Dr. Welch has really helped shift both the debate and the public perception of cancer screening. Like, just speaking personally here, it's because of work like his that I go into every mammogram that I undergo saying, look, I know I'm really likely to get a false positive here. And if I do get a call back, of course, I know I'll freak out. I can't avoid it. But I'll also know that the numbers are very much on my side.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he's a valuable voice for sure. What is Dartmouth saying about this?
Well, a Dartmouth spokesman declined to say whether Dr. Welch has been sanctioned. The two colleagues who accused him of plagiarism say his paper prevented them from being able to publish their paper in other journals. And they say it was a difficult decision to accuse him, but they saw a risk to, quote, the ethical conduct of science.
So they acted out of concern that they needed to get credit for their work,
right?
Which seems like the flip side of what you were talking about earlier, that sharing is on the rise in science.
Right. Or it's the other side of the coin. Mm. And the coin in science is credit for finding significant insights. So that hasn't changed. And, you know, it's still very often a sore point in science when it comes to who gets credit for what. I think the key here is that increasingly scientists can share their work while also getting credit for it. So that's basically what happens when you publish a scientific paper or get a patent for that matter. And now with outfits like AdGene that you heard me report about earlier, we're also seeing more and more sharing of biological materials like DNA as well.
Well, Carrie Goldberg edits WBUR's Common Health. You can find a link to her story on scientific sharing on our website, radioboston.org. Thank you so much,
You're
Carrie.
Welcome.
All right, that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Jamie Bologna, Chris Siderick, Paris Austin, and Zoe Mitchell, with help from Eve Zuckoff. Tim Skog is our technical director. We had engineering help today from Matt Lissette. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Maria Garcia. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.